just to have that mindset of being quite open to new experiences, but also taking a step back and listening and watching before acting.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the New Nomad. We have a great guest today. David McNeil of Expat Empire will be joining us. But before Andrew Jernigan, my co-host, will join me with some really unique comments as he waits for his dog to arrive from Brazil. How you doing, Andrew? And how's the progress as a very typical nomad issue?
Doing well. I do miss my dog. You know, we have so much to learn from animals. You know, let's dive into that. I just let my cat out. This cat has traveled the world. From living in Northern California to back to Brazil and a few countries in between. This dog has been to Germany and you name it, and is about to come back to the U.S. So this is that new nomad animal, often so ignored, but yet we need to learn from them. What do you think on that statement, Alan?
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up. Because last night, as I was watching the Academy Awards, there was a movie I saw this year called My Octopus Teacher, which was when somebody called me up and said, you've got to watch this movie. And they explained it to me. I said, no way, this is not going to work. But for those of you out there in the audience, it's about a gentleman who frankly was burned out from being a nomad, was a photographer and decided to swim into a lagoon and developed a relationship, if you can call it that, with an octopus and follows the octopus, what was it for Andrew, like 324 days, basically the life cycle. And it was so amazing, the whole experience.
Watching that, of course, you recommended it to me. I went and watched it, seeing the journey of his learning process through it. My heart goes out to those who haven't experienced learning from an animal, because we can learn so much by those who can't speak the way we do. And whoa, that's deep.
It is deep.
We learn so much from those who aren't talking to us also.
Yes. Yes. Very good. You know, it's interesting when you think about how the animals have been in the news. So this week, there's been a lot of press on how Cher has helped that elephant that had been caged for many years. I was listening to a podcast the other day, which talked about how the whales have changed when in the 1800s, the whaling vessels chased them. They were in year one in pods, and by year two, they knew enough to split up and run for it. So I agree with you that I think that we could learn a lot from the natural world, can't we? And it certainly helps people with their own situations.
Yeah, these migratory animals known as humans that were quite nomadic all through time, whether it was the Silk Road or the deserts or from the prairies, one continent to another. We're bringing on somebody today that talks to expats all around the world. And I'd love to see how he is. Is he an expat whisperer? I know he hears a lot, and I think he's going to bring us some great insights from some of the things he's heard and discussed with people.
Well, let's bring David in. David, greetings. Where are you today? And we'd love to hear some comments. Maybe an elliptical conversation, but I know that you have great conversations with people on a daily basis. Welcome.
Yes, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. It's great to be on the show. And I really enjoyed the intro there about being with animals. And it's definitely a documentary that you mentioned that I'm planning to catch as soon as possible. I've heard great things from many people on that. But yeah, I'm calling in today from Porto, Portugal, where I've been for the last year and a half. And before that, I was in Berlin for 3 years. And before that, in Tokyo for 2 years, and moved out of San Francisco to make that whole all happen back in 2014. So that's the brief overview of my story. But happy to, yeah, talk about what I've been hearing, what's been going on, and anything that would be helpful or interesting to you and your listeners.
Well, it was interesting. I went online and you had some really interesting tips. You know, somebody who's been between those countries, I'm sure there's a couple common mistakes, a couple best practices, and you know, some areas to keep people out of trouble, so to speak. What are some of your best tips to keep people out of trouble and to make sure that they're doing things properly and making that move whether they're a retiree or a remote worker or a digital nomad, safe, secure, and sound.
Yeah, gosh, that's definitely a big topic. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff to go into there, and I'm sure both of you are well aware of that as well. I think a good place for people to start, just in general, no matter what they want to do, is just to make sure that they're doing it for the right reasons. If you're looking for some adventure, if you want to get out there and have some fun, you can also just take a quick trip, right? But if you really want to make this a long-term thing, whether traveling around as a nomad, whether moving to a country long-term as a, you know, a quote-unquote expat, then I think you just have to be sure that you're going to be able to be there for the right reasons. You're going to that country or that city for your motivations are in the right place, because it's not going to be always easy. In fact, it's going to be frequently very difficult. As a result, I think just having the right motivations and the right mindset to help you push through those difficult times is essential. So maybe I would just start there.
Well, it's interesting. In the past, some studies seem to indicate people that are intellectually curious or adventurous tend to be those folks. You know, what is the mindset that you would say, is that congruent? Share with us a little bit what you think is the right mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. I think being curious, adventurous is obviously a great place to start. But on top of that, I think one thing that's really helped me a lot, and I also talk about in the Top 10 Tips for Moving Abroad ebook on my website, for example, is just to have that mindset of being quite open to new experiences, but also taking a step back and listening and watching before acting. And I think that, especially coming from that sort of charging forward American background that I think most of us are familiar with here on the show, it's a bit different. You know, you have to kind of take a different tack to it. And so that's actually paid a lot of dividends over my time in these different countries, because I had to really learn all new different types of cultures. I'd already had that experience studying the Japanese language and being familiar with the culture as I picked that up in my high school years and in college. But when I was actually there in person, and working in a work environment, it's totally different. So I think even if you kind of think you know what's going on or you have a good idea about things, it's always good to just watch and learn and listen before acting. And I think that's a good mindset to have going in.
Yeah, riding that wave of emotional growth in a new culture, from honeymoon to to culture shock, to hatred of it, to a plateau, and actually staying long enough to make it through the different phases and come out a better person, versus leaving while you're still on the honeymoon, or leaving right when it's hard and not making it into the next level of growth. It's that thing of testing the waters and learning what is wise, what's not, before you think, okay, I hate this place and I'm moving on, right?
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a great way to put it. And it's easy to just enjoy that honeymoon period, but it's surprising as well, especially if you're intending to move somewhere long term and you've got to deal with visas, you've got to deal with jobs, you have to deal with finding apartments and everything else. That honeymoon can come to an end very quickly, maybe faster than you hope or than you think. And so again, being prepared for that, ready to take it on head on, I think is vital for success in this environment and in this situation. Of course, it's absolutely worth every bit of challenge that comes associated with it. And that's part of the fun, even if it's not always fun, but that's part of the experience. So shouldn't keep people away from the idea, but it's good to recognize that going in.
One thing that I thought was interesting about your travels is you went from Japanese culture to German culture, which, when you always do culture stereotyping, I almost put it, you know, when people like culture, there's the driver culture, and then there's the more consensus culture. How did you get through that? And how difficult was that for you? Because when you think about it, you're kind of going from one edge to the other edge on that culture dial.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I suppose I didn't think about it probably enough before I made the move, to be honest. But just a quick story that I find quite funny is when I was in Japan and telling my friends there that I was interested in moving to Germany, and especially when I had firm plans to do so, a lot of the Japanese people would tell me, Germans and Japanese were quite similar. You know, we have this kind of rule focused, kind of driven culture in that sense. And then I would say, okay, well, yeah, maybe so. But like, what else? You know, there's got to be something more to it that actually makes it an interesting overlap or similarity. And after thinking for a while, almost every single time a Japanese person would respond, "We both like beer." And I was just like, well, yes. I think a lot of countries also like beer. So I'm not sure if that makes it a special bond in one way or another. But what I found to be most difficult in that transition, and only my experience in Germany is in Berlin, which, you know, so I can't speak for Germany as a whole outside of my travels. But I would say the challenge really was going from Japan, where there's such a at least on the surface, such an niceness, a politeness, trying to, you know, sort of please you or make the customer kind of number one. Whereas in Berlin, I did not find that to be the case at all. So it took a lot of internal change and building a thicker skin, to be honest, to be able to be successful in that environment. And that was really difficult. I think going from America straight to Germany, you'd still feel it, but especially going through Japan first, where it's just such a warm and nice landing, straight into Berlin was a difficult one for sure.
But David, you really said something there that I'd love to pick up on real quick. You said internal change was needed. Mm. I think that a lot of times we kind of avoid that internal change, that care that must be given to ourselves emotionally, psychologically, because we change our setting, we change the culture, we change everything, the way we work, our distance from our comfort foods, our friends, our escapes change. But yet we feed ourselves at times in this cross-cultural lifestyle that everything should be normal and I should be fine. Why am I going through suffering mentally, emotionally? And the weaknesses that we have become magnified when we're doing this. And I've talked about it with my wife a lot, because over the past 20 years, we've lived in many different countries and along with our kids. And so this interchange, at the interchange of cultures, how would you expound on that as you've done it and you prepared other people through it?
Yeah, I think it's a great point, and it's often left off the table or not really considered by most people as they're thinking about making this huge life change. And I think part of it has to do with the fact that, you know, even for me, if I look at myself, when I first went to move to Japan, which was my big goal growing up, when I finally got the opportunity to go there, of course, I said, yes, send me straight away. And I still remember in the interview process for the job that I got there that allowed me to have that opportunity, that the person interviewing me asked very directly, are you going to be able to deal with the Japanese work culture and environment? And he asked me this, you know, in English in my last interview. And I just was like, yes, of course I can. You know, you have to kind of go forth and say that. And then you end up there and you're like, wait a second, this is, I'm maybe a bit off more than I can chew, even with that background and context. So it was a challenge there. I think one thing I have to keep reminding myself every time I make a move is that getting set up, which I don't mean just getting a phone, you know, plan, getting a house, which of course can take a while, but really getting set up and having that network of people, professional and personal, real friends in the country takes a long time. I usually advise at least 1 year. And I always forget that it takes that long, because I'm even sitting there thinking, I've done this so many times. Come on, why is this taking so long this time? And then I'm like, oh yeah, it only took 3 months, or it's only been 3 months. I need to kind of remember that this takes a while. And it's frustrating and it's difficult to keep reminding yourself that, but maybe, I hope the future will tell, but hopefully it'll be that I'll stay here in Portugal for a while and I won't have to restart that timer again.
So tell us about the transition to Portugal. Portugal seems to be a wonderful place right now. There seems to be quite a nomad community there. We've also seen they have the digital nomad visas. And of course, from the American perspective, you know, it just really is a unique place. Share with us what attracted you to that. And if there's folks out there thinking about a place to go, would it be one of those places that you would suggest that they take their first foray if they want to become a nomad?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is absolutely 100% yes. So the way that I ended up here was that, so I met my wife in Berlin, but she's from Japan. So we were both outside of our home countries. And we just thought, where would be the next place that we'd want to go once we're kind of done with Germany, whenever that would be. And we kind of went back and forth in a couple spots. And then she said, how about Portugal? And I had visited here back in 2014. At that time, I think when we were talking about that, it was around 2017. So it's been a few years, but I really had a great memory of that trip. And so then we took a trip in 2018 here together, and we left after a week thinking, this is a spot. Like, we got to get back here. So it took another year to make it happen. And yeah, got a job here to be able to do that. But it's just been absolutely what we expected and what we thought it would be based on our experiences and talking to other people before making the move. And the real thing that drew, the things that drew us to Portugal in general, and I mean, I love it here in Porto specifically, but I think this applies pretty much to everywhere in the country, is really warm people, warm weather, and delicious food. I think it's maybe those three things.
That's a pretty good prescription. And some wonderful port also to have every now and then.
Absolutely. And we're right here on the water as well. I mean, depending on obviously where you're in Portugal, but being on the coast, really wanted to get back to that kind of water environment. And so that's been great. It's just really checked all the boxes for us and absolutely proved over the last year and a half that it's the spot.
Warm culture versus yes. cold culture. Don't know exactly. if you're familiar with that concept, but you know, it's a warm culture people group.
Yeah, that's what we found straight away. And people have just been so welcoming and so nice, even in the middle of this crazy year. It's just been a really comfortable, safe, warm place to be. I mean, emotionally, we feel really welcomed here among many reasons, including Digital Nomad Visa, the Digital Nomad Village, the NHR non-habitual resident tax status, the passive income D7 visa, like all of these things together really make it a great place for people to come. And that's why we've just really seen a big increase in interest in people coming to Portugal. So I think it's going to be an exciting next 12 months.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting. Portugal might actually be paving the way for so many countries to follow. I mean, obviously we've seen Estonia and Croatia and Costa Rica, but is it your feeling as you support this community that this is here to stay? And other countries are taking note of these countries who have been early movers on digital nomad status. And perhaps we're at the beginning of something completely new.
Yeah, I think that's well put. And I think Portugal's in the forefront there, but definitely, like you said, Estonia being a huge one. I still remember going to the airport there and seeing in the airport some pamphlets available to anyone that wants to pick it up about their e-residency and all of this stuff. So it's really cool to see that increasing. And I think just from here on out, it's gonna go crazy in a good way. And I think here in Portugal, even just month to month, or I mean, definitely year to year, you really can feel the change happening and, you know, more and more interest here. So I think with a new kind of paradigm that we're seeing as far as remote work is concerned, digital nomads, being able to work where you want and hopefully for who you want or for yourself, I think that just creates a number of opportunities here in Europe. Obviously, Asia has been a big spot for many years now. And I think the governments are taking note and following suit.
Well, David, question. Do you think that you and everyone else that takes this dive into the nomadic lifestyle, whether it's taking a job like you did in Japan, do you think people realize the impact it's going to have on the rest of their life? And because it does change you forever, it changes mm-hmm. how you think, and it changes who you would potentially marry, as in mm-hmm. your case, as in mine. It changes your relationships back home. Do you think people realize the impact when they do it? It potentially is a road of no return.
Well said. I think as far as I'm thinking as of today, you never know what the future holds, but no real intention to move back to the US on my part, or even Japan on my wife's part. So hopefully we'll keep this thing going for as long as possible. But yeah, I think there's massive change that I've experienced personally in good ways. And I think a lot of it has to do with just seeing different cultures, seeing different people, realizing that we're all the same, but also recognizing the differences and trying to take some of the good parts of the differences into my own life as well. So I hope that people take it into account. Obviously, that's definitely a conversation that I try to have with folks, but it's one of those things that at the same time, no matter how you say it, no matter how many times you hear it, you probably won't really grasp it, really get it until it happens to you. And so all I hope is that people have that experience and it does push them, you know, in a good way. It does change them permanently in a way that they're happy about and hopefully want to keep doing.
So you've been somebody who's, you know, really took it upon yourself to follow your dream, going to Japan, Germany, now in Portugal. So I'm sure you've run across a lot of things that you'd like to share. So could you share with our audience one overlooked person, place, or experience that you think that they should explore that would be really helpful in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I would, as I was thinking about this question, I thought back to a trip that I had a few years ago to Jordan, actually. And this is an amazing country. And I was really interested in the idea of going there because of things like Petra with the stone kind of wall carvings and this just amazing environment there. And then when I went and got to have an overnight in the Wadi Rum desert, you know, more traditional, you know, still touristy, let's say, but more traditional style of an experience. And then I went to Aqaba to go diving, and they had actually purposefully sunk some tanks nearer to the shore. So it's relatively easy to get to see them, and they have all kinds of sea life and everything grown over them. So those are a couple things I did over the week that I was there, and people were just so nice and welcoming. And I can understand some safety concerns given the location of the country. However, I didn't feel unsafe for any part of that trip whatsoever. And at the time, I'm not sure how it is today, but at the time there was just a real lack of tourists. And of course, in the middle of the situation, I wouldn't expect that to change. But I hope that in the next months and years that there will be more opportunities for people to go there. They'll feel comfortable to do so. And I mean, at the time, a few years ago, seeing some of these ancient landmarks and historic places with practically nobody there was, I mean, it was like a traveler's dream, you know? So, yeah.
I so agree with you. I was fortunate enough to go to Petra, the Dead Sea. Yeah. And then one thing that really expanded my mind is they actually had a map from before Columbus in that church, kind of on the floor. It's kind of like a...
Oh, right, right.
And it had the New World in there, almost to like North and South America. So somebody must have had a decent idea. I don't know if you were able to visit with that, but that was the thing that is as amazing as Petra and the Dead Sea. And by the way, to those of you out there, don't shave before you're going to go into the Dead Sea, because the salt is the most painful. I learned that the hard way, but your call out on Jordan is tremendous. And the people are very inviting there.
So much you can see in a short time. And I'm sure there's plenty more that I could have seen. But I mean, everyone that I met along the way was super helpful, super warm and inviting. I didn't get a single sense of being unsafe. And I got to also go to the Dead Sea. And this was, pretty incredible as well. I mean, it's a whole region that I hope to get a chance to explore more. And so that was just a bit of my first foray. And set the stage for the future.
Well, David, what is happening in your world, and how can the listeners find that? I know you have an ebook that you mentioned on your website, but where can we find you? What's the latest? What's coming soon? Just tell us all about it. It'll be in the show notes for those who are listening. Go to our website to locate that, but tell us all about it, David.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks for the opportunity. So I just definitely recommend folks to go and check out expatempire.com if they're interested in what I've been doing and what I'm up to. Of course, we're on Facebook and Instagram at Expat Empire as well. So what we have on the site is that ebook, if you want to check that out, Top 10 Tips for Moving Abroad. We also have episodes of the Expat Empire podcast, a lot of blog posts. I have a book about that I wrote and released back in 2018 about my time in Japan, if anyone's interested in that. But on top of that, and actually most importantly, we do personalized consulting services. So if you're looking to start your adventure as an expat in a new country, whether you're already abroad looking to move again or thinking about it for the first time, or of course trying to become a digital nomad, whatever you want to do, wherever you are, wherever you want to go, we're able to help you do that. So you can definitely go to the website again, expatempire.com, and schedule a free 30-minute consulting call where we can talk through your plans and see how we might be able to help you to achieve them.
And you know, David, I looked at the website. The other thing I liked is that if I was moving, I would definitely not only go to that website, but your pricing, you had pricing right out there. It was very reasonable for the consultation sessions. And, you know, for the very minuscule amount, you would save people from so many issues and problems. And what I mean by, it was like 99 euros for your advice and counsel to prevent so many errors, which to me seemed like a very inexpensive insurance policy against making a blunder. So well done on that, and a wonderful site. And we highly recommend people access that. So thank you for joining us today. Enlightening. And by the way, kudos to you for picking an incredible spot in Jordan as your share, because I concur 110%. Thanks today. Thanks again.
Awesome. And thank you.
Appreciate
so much.
Your time. And Andrew, closing thoughts today. I think we covered a lot of ground, and I'm hoping people, you know, take advantage of Expat Empire and some of the advice and counsel, because it's a big deal to move around without having an understanding of what you're getting yourself into.
It is. We put ourselves at so much risk when we're crossing borders. And a lot of times we don't know that. We don't know what we haven't experienced. We don't know what we haven't read or learned. And many times these days, we're not as much readers as skimmers of someone's blog or their Instagram. So it's good to go to experts. It's good to go to those subject matter experts to say, okay, help me out here. Whether that's the international relocation specialist, the international insurance, the tax, the all the different factors, the citizenship, the banking, you name it, they're specialists out there. And we've got to seek those out and just not go to the specialized Google expert. So everyone, thank you for joining today. Join us again. Subscribe, like, follow, and join us because we'll have other impactful folks on this podcast. Thank you, everyone.
So if you want to catch up to us again, please look online at either the newnomad.net or insurednomads.com. Stay well and keep sharing with others. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.